This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The government shutdown entering its second week, about 750,000 federal workers furloughed without pay. Now President Trump says some of them may not even get back pay, even though it's the law.
For the most part, we're going to take care of our people. There are some people that really don't deserve to be taken care of, and we'll take care of them in a different way.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem made a high-profile visit to an ICE facility in Portland on Tuesday amid a legal battle over sending federal troops to the Oregon city. And President Trump threatening to invoke the Insurrection Act if courts block his attempts to deploy National Guard troops in cities like Portland and Chicago. Boston police say what appeared to be a pro-Palestinian demonstration near Boston Common ended with four injured Boston police officers and 13 arrests on Tuesday evening. Protesters setting off smoke devices, kicking police cars, blocking traffic, assaulting officers, say police. Two of the officers sent to hospitals. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court heard oral arguments Tuesday in a case involving conversion therapy and a doctor in Colorado who wants to strike down a ban on the practice.
The justices really wrestled with whether these types of laws that restrict what counselors can or cannot say when treating young people who are struggling with their gender identity or sexual orientation need to be held to a very high standard because it involves free speech. And today, I would say a majority of the conservatives did appear inclined to hold this law and others like it to that very high bar. Not entirely clear how they would come out, but they sure were skeptical of any of these restrictions put on counselors and how they talk to young people about sex and sexual orientation.
Senior Washington reporter Devin Dwyer with ABC News. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer signing a bill imposing a new 24% tax on marijuana sales between producers and dispensaries. The revenue stream will partially fund road repairs in the state. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.7 WRCE.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory overnight, mostly clear, areas of frost and lows in the low 30s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the low 60s. And continued warming for Thursday and Friday, with sun, highs in the mid 60s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers and tariffs. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden will join us. I hope you can too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Keep the faith, Wisconsin and beyond, and happy Tuesday afternoon. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is about Americans across cities and rural areas and races and religious beliefs and, yeah, political persuasions. Standing up for ourselves, standing up for each other. And reclaiming the America that we all deeply believe in, not the America of racism and xenophobia and lawlessness. We are not going to be bullied. We are not going to allow this regime to take away our freedoms, our rights, and endanger our lives. We are not going to do it. The resistance is here every weekday, 4 to 6 p.m. If you knew me from way back when, my first show ever on the radio was called Dawn of the Resistance, and we're keeping that spirit alive every day right here. We are going to get, we've got a bunch of sound from both Donald Trump and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth addressing 800 of our country's top generals, some of whom flew for days, thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. We're going to hear what exactly was said. It was an abomination. But I want to start this afternoon with a decision today from a Reagan-appointed federal district court judge. This is in the free speech case when Donald Trump targeted pro-Palestinian students on visas for deportation. They sued and they brought a case and the judge decided it today. It was a bench trial. So this was a decision on the merits, full presentation of evidence. Everybody got to argue their sides. And this Reagan-appointed judge, his decision today, the way it starts and it ends, is absolutely mind-blowing. He spares not a word. And I'm going to share some of that with you. There's no audio because federal court judges don't do that. There's no recording equipment in federal courts. But before we get to that, we do have some fun business to attend to. If you've been playing along with us, it is Civic Media's multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest right now. We give away daily prizes of either $200 or gold jewelry. And we're going to give away a grand prize of two indoor club-level tickets to watch Green Bay take on Minnesota on November 23rd. That's a noon game and a gas card to get you there and back. If you want to play today, you got to download the Civic Media app and text in this word right now before 6 o'clock. Got to get your word in via the app. Punt, P-U-N-T. P-U-N-T, punt is the word. Good luck to everybody. Let me share what this judge has said today. He has ruled that the targeting of pro-Palestinian student protesters and activism was illegal. And the judge called the crackdown a, quote, truly scandalous and unconstitutional suppression of free speech. This is U.S. District Judge, William Young in Boston. He went on to say that the State Department and Donald Trump sought to target non-citizens for speaking out with the, quote, goal of tamping down pro-Palestinian student protests and terrorizing similarly situated students. Young decried the administration's conduct in striking terms, as is according to reporting by the Washington Post, quoting President Ronald Reagan's declaration that freedom must be fought and defended constantly by each generation. And he called the case, this is Judge Young writing today, perhaps the most important ever to fall within the jurisdiction of this district court. The bench trial, again, decided by a judge, not a jury, sought to answer the question of whether non-citizens in the United States have the same rights to freedom of speech as citizens. Quote, this is from the judge today. The analysts relied heavily on thousands of profiles generated by Canary Mission, an opaque pro-Israel group that said it documents individuals who promote hatred of the USA, Israel, and Jews. He basically decimates the use of that data by Homeland Security to target these students. It's really incredible. HSI officials during the trial testified that they had never been asked before, ever, to compile reports on student protesters or to conduct arrests of non-citizens. But here are the parts that I want to share with you in particular. The front page of this federal court opinion has an image of a postcard sent to the judge and received on June 19th of this year. I'm not kidding. I've never seen this. This is first of its kind that I'm aware of ever from a federal court anywhere in the history of the United States. He pasted an image of this postcard sent to him that said this, ostensibly directed at Judge Young, a Reagan appointee. Trump has pardons and tanks. What do you have? And Judge Young responded before even the heading of his decision. Here's what he said. Dear Mr. or Miss Anonymous, alone, I have nothing but my sense of duty. Together, we the people of the United States, you and me, have our magnificent Constitution. Here's how that works out in a specific case. And at the end of Judge Young's opinion, after his signature, he again addresses the coward who wrote an anonymous, threatening postcard to Judge Young. He writes this, I hope you found this helpful. Thanks for writing. It shows you care. You should. Sincerely and respectfully, Bill Young. P.S. The next time you're in Boston, parentheses, the postmark on your card is from the Philadelphia area, close paren. Stop in at the courthouse and watch your fellow citizens sitting as jurors. Reach out for justice. It is here. And in courthouses just like this one, both state and federal, spread throughout our land, that our Constitution is most vibrantly alive.
For it is well said that where a jury sits, there burns the lamp of liberty. This is the moment that we are in. The threats to the judiciary fomented, encouraged by Donald Trump, who has been doing this for the last decade. And I want to read another portion of this decision, and then we are going to turn to the abomination of speeches before our nation's top military leaders today. And folks, if you're going to want to talk about that, if you are a veteran, if you currently serve and you want to anonymously comment on the speeches before our nation's top military leaders this morning, please do get on the line. We will queue up your calls and your text messages, 855-752-4842. But what Judge Young wrote today, and what is an absolutely scathing rebuke of the Trump administration, again, a Reagan-appointed judge, is so important for all of us to understand. His opinion is 161 pages long. If you want to know about the merits of the case, you want to know how the federal government didn't do its own investigation. It just relied on this outside group to decide who's bad and who gets deported and who doesn't. It's in the 161 pages. But I want to read you the very end. Here's what he says in the substantive conclusion of his opinion. No order entered by this court shall materially interfere with the defendant public officials and their agents' ability properly to enforce the laws passed by Congress. To this delicate task, the court will turn in the remedy phase. And then he quotes Ronald Reagan, who appointed him. Freedom is a fragile thing, and it's never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by way of inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation, for it comes only once to a people. The judge writes, I first heard these words of President Reagan's back in 2007 when my son quoted them in the Law Day celebration speech at the Norfolk Superior Court. I was deeply moved and hold these words before me as I discharge my judicial duties. As I've read and reread the record in this case, listened widely and reflected extensively, I've come to believe that President Trump truly understands and appreciates the full import of President Reagan's inspiring message. Yet I fear he has drawn from it a darker, more cynical message. I fear President Trump believes the American people are so divided today that they will not stand up, fight for, and defend our most precious constitutional values so long as they are lulled into thinking that their own personal interests are not affected. Is he correct? The judge asks all of us. I've been a lawyer for a long time, over 20 years. I've clerked for a federal judge that was twice appointed by President Reagan. And I have never read or seen anything this explicit written by a federal court judge calling on us as Americans, those who may be lulled by why we think our personal interests that are our side may be winning in this moment, such a direct and clarion call to the American people to wake up, to realize that our freedoms, our very, very core values are at risk right now. He asks us, Judge Young, a Reagan-appointed judge, asks us, each and every one of us, if we are willing to stand up in this moment and defend our most fundamental constitutional freedoms. In that case, the right to free speech. In others, the right to due process. But in general, that ours is a country of laws and that no man, no administration is above the law. When we come back, we'll test those very questions when it comes to whether or not our military should face off against its citizens to serve one man. Stay with me, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger public address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved and, frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoon from 4 until 6.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Milwaukee Brewers play here all season long. Catch the game on us, WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 107.7 WRCE.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is your opportunity to sound off. What is on the top of your mind? What's bugging you? What's in the news that's got you worried? I can tell you somebody was sounding off today, Marjorie Taylor Greene, indicating that she is breaking with Republicans, calling their opposition to Democrats' demand to restore the ACA subsidies to avoid an American healthcare Armageddon. She is siding with Democrats. She said this on X, I'm going to go against everyone on this issue because when the tax credits expire this year, my own adult children's insurance premiums for 2026 are going to double, along with all the wonderful families and hardworking people in my district. Dear Republicans and MAGAs, maybe you should actually try to figure out the facts and stop listening to the Pinocchio House Speaker, Mike Johnson, or Liar-in-Chief Donald Trump. Let's go right to the phones. We got some very patient people here with us. Mark from Prairie du Sac, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much. I see where a judge awarded standing to two people over how Wisconsin votes, how people get to register to vote. And I kind of, why they would have standing, to do that kind of thing, because my guess is if I sued the Wisconsin Republicans that participated in the fake elector scandal, scheme, conspiracy, that I wouldn't be granted standing because they violated my 14th Amendment rights doing this, including Ron Johnson, who now, what does the man expect? He was caught red-handed doing this stuff. He's objecting to have been investigated. I mean, that he committed the crime. It was only begrudgingly that he actually certified that election. I mean, the man, you mean that, so I guess how did they find standing in the case in Waukesha County where he said, well, these people can decide, you know, that you have to have proof of citizenship now to register to vote or to vote here in Wisconsin each and every time probably. And how did they find standing in that, whereas it seems dubious at best to me that they would have standing, and I don't know who the law firm was. I imagine it was Wisconsin Law Institute for Law and Liberty that they was doing the legal work for them. But these people got dredged up from someplace to do this, and how did the judge find standing for them to bring this case?
Mark, I've got to actually go back and look at the record in that case because I don't want to get it wrong. In these, what I'm going to call democracy process cases, standing is very, very peculiar and particular. And, you know, again, the Supreme Court especially has been quite suspicious of standing, especially in a lot of the federal election cases. So let me get back to you on that, Mark. I love questions like this, folks. You too can give me a homework assignment, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ali from the Northwoods, what you got for us this afternoon? What do you want to sound off on?
Oh, my goodness, there's so much that could be sounded off on. First, make sure everybody gets to those protests if they are capable of doing so. If not, call, write, do whatever you can. My protest for this week is the new con coin that they've put Trump's face on a new coin that they hope to print out, the $1 coin, and I just think it's appalling to think that we would have a coin with a president who was an insurrectionist.
It's a lot. These commemorative coins, it's not going to be in general circulation. This is not the worst thing. You know, the outright grift and fraud and corruption. Right, the Donald Trump meme coin, the Melania Trump meme coin, the Donald Trump stable coin that's being used to bridge finance this massive multi-billion-dollar transaction in the Middle East. Meanwhile, assigning his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, to now help with the Gaza peace process and to talk with all these Middle Eastern countries. Oh, yeah, one of which, yeah, that's Saudi Arabia. It's Sovereign Wealth Fund giving Jared Kushner some $20 billion, yeah, I said $20 billion, of which he pulls down an annual fee of somewhere north of 15 to 20% for just managing the money, a thing that he has absolutely no experience doing at all whatsoever. That's not a problem. The Trump coin is offensive and bad, but it is the least of our problems in this moment, folks. Don't take your eye off the ball. The corruption is out there. It is absolutely terrible. Let's at least get one more call in here. We got a newish caller, Brett from Brown Deer. What's up, Brett? What you got for us?
Hi, Maggie. Hey, what's got me concerned is what we're missing. Why does this government shutdown help the Republicans? Because Senator Thune can call a procedural vote to bypass the filibuster for one continuing resolution. But they refuse. They know that. Why? What advantage can they use this government shutdown on us?
Brett, I have to be really clear here. I think the entire reason that they're doing this is, one, they think Democrats will cave, but more, because they have always wanted to have a shutdown as an excuse to illegally fire thousands of federal workers and to engage in loyalty purges
out of our most critical federal agencies that ensure that regular people like me and you have clean water, clean air, and that our small businesses can compete on equal and fair footing, you know, like capitalists might support. This episode of Sound Off here on the Maggie Dawn Show continues on the other side. Join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Phone and text lines are open.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 107.7 WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The government shutdown entering its second week, about 750,000 federal workers furloughed without pay. Now President Trump says some of them may not even get back pay, even though it's the law.
For the most part, we're going to take care of our people. There are some people that really don't deserve to be taken care of, and we'll take care of them in a different way.
Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem made a high-profile visit to an ICE facility in Portland on Tuesday amid a legal battle over sending federal troops to the Oregon city. And President Trump threatening to invoke the Insurrection Act if courts block his attempts to deploy National Guard troops in cities like Portland and Chicago. Boston police say what appeared to be a pro-Palestinian demonstration near Boston Common ended with four injured Boston police officers and 13 arrests on Tuesday evening. Protesters setting off smoke devices, kicking police cars, blocking traffic, assaulting officers, say police. Two of the officers sent to hospitals. This is ABC News.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah. How rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With Sports, on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Most movies have a climax. When it comes to When Harry Met Sally, there were actually two climaxes in the film, one of which was iconic and still talked about today. Rob Reiner was the director of the film and recently referenced the scene where Meg Ryan pretended to have the big O in the middle of a deli while sitting opposite Billy Crystal. The director says it was very awkward directing the scene in front of his mother. You might be asking, why did he invite her to the set that particular day? It's because Estelle Reiner is the woman who leans over and says, "I'll have what she's having." Couldn't have been that awkward. Despite getting good reviews in his new film, The Smashing Machine, Dwayne The Rock Johnson says he feels bad. The film did not perform well at the box office, but Johnson still says he is grateful for those who went to see it. I'm curious to see his performance because critics say he was really good. Just a bit of advice, though, if you want to be taken seriously as an actor, maybe ditch the Rock part of your wrestling moniker. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.7 WRCE, news from the center and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Frost advisory overnight, mostly clear, areas of frost and lows in the low 30s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the low 60s. And continued warming for Thursday and Friday, with sun, highs in the mid 60s. Currently it's 44 degrees.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
You are never far.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by nutritionist and founder of Wayless MD, Sherry Stoka. Then fantasy football expert Peter Van Doren joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Tuesday edition of Sound Off right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. When we do Sound Off, you can call me up, you can text me about just about anything that you'd like to talk about in the news, from pop culture to sports to politics, of course. We take all callers, except for CJ today, because all he wants to talk about is how long he was on the phone waiting for me to take his call, which, who cares? Anyways, I want to share with you all some of the sound of our esteemed, deeply respectful Attorney General Pam Bondi, who understands deeply, almost on a cellular level, that you need to keep partisanship and politics out of justice work. That our justice system, that our prosecutorial powers in this country should never, ever, ever be co-opted by presidents or governors or mayors to go after their political enemies. Because if that is okay, then we are on a very slippery slope to authoritarianism and the demise of our democracy. And today, shockingly, our Attorney General Pam Bondi stood up and said the DOJ will no longer be weaponized under Donald Trump. Actually, folks, none of that at all happened. She was as sycophantish as ever, refusing to answer basically any question from any Democratic senator, literally, and then getting ticked off that they even dared answer her question, which, by the way, is what these hearings are for. And yes, they can be contentious, but you do have an obligation to at least try to respond and, oh yeah, be a little respectful for these people that actually won elected office, as opposed to Pam Bondi getting appointed. I wanted to start with Senator Richard Blumenthal asking Pam Bondi about some of her conflicts of interest. Now, what's really important here is the manner in which Senator Blumenthal phrases this question. Okay? He doesn't accuse her of corruption. He asks her to explain, and she loses her mind, and by the way, doesn't explain a damn thing. Take a listen.
What conversation did you have with Mr. Ballard?
Senator Blumenthal, I cannot believe that you would accuse me of impropriety when you lied about your military service.
You admitted you lied to be elected a U.S. senator. How dare you?
I'm a career prosecutor. Don't you ever challenge my integrity. I have abided by every ethics standard. Do not question my ability to be fair and impartial as Attorney General, and anything with my former firm, Ballard Partners.
Thank you.
Wow. To be clear, engaging in personal attacks when a senator is asking you very specific questions about meaningful potential conflicts of interest, it is not acceptable to do that. She doesn't respond to the question at all. It's absolutely disgusting behavior. We deserve so much better from an attorney general. And by the way, she was a registered lobbyist for Ballard Partners and represented foreign governments. It's... That'll take a whole show for me to explain. Go ahead and take a look at the news that's out there about her relationships with these various foreign governments. you know, that maybe she should be very clear about what they were. Again, Pam Bondi not answering a damn question. Let's move on to the Attorney General being asked a few questions about bagman Tom Homan and that $50,000 in cash that he received from FBI agents that he has never responded to or debated whether that or even questioned or said, no, that didn't happen. So the guy took a bag full of $50,000 in cash, apparently in exchange for directing contracts to made-up firms. Here's Senator Hirono asking Pam Bondi about the Homan investigation. Cut 8.
Do you approve closing the Homan investigation, bribery investigation?
Just get rid of that.
Senator Hirono, as I stated earlier, the Department of Justice and the FBI conducted a thorough review, and they found no credible evidence of any wrongdoing. You were also on video outside the White House protesting with a group called CASA, where Antifa members were. Does that mean you're a member of Antifa?
You know, I simply asked the question as to whether or not you approve the shutting down of the investigation, Mr. Homan. I have to assume that you did because the FBI reports to you. But the American people would look at the situation where this person is taking a $50,000 in cash, no less, and you testified today that a thorough investigation was done. Now, I have to assume, I conclude, that since no wrongdoing was determined, that in answer to Senator Whitehouse's question, he kept the money. He kept the money, and I hope that he put that on his tax returns as income.
Notice the theme here. Senator Blumenthal asks her a very legitimate question based on current news reporting about potential involvement that would indicate a conflict of interest related to her former lobbying for Ballard Partners and the closure of an antitrust case. She then attacks Blumenthal. Hirono asks her a very legitimate question that should be easy to answer. Did you shut down the investigation of Tom Homan for taking a bag of $50,000 in cash from FBI agents? And what does she do? Accuses Senator Hirono of being an Antifa. Okay, Pam. Okay. And then this exchange again with Senator Whitehouse and trying to find out if Homan actually kept the $50,000. Take a look at this.
Senator, as Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche recently stated, the investigation of Mr. Homan was subjected to a full review by the FBI, agents, and DOJ prosecutors. They found no credible evidence of any wrongdoing.
And that was not my question. My question was, what became of the $50,000 in cash that the FBI delivered, evidently in a paper bag, to Mr. Homan?
Senator, I'd look at your facts.
What?
Are you saying that they did not deliver $50,000 in cash to Mr. Homan?
Senator, as recently stated, the investigation of Mr. Homan was subjected to a full review by the FBI agents, by Department of Justice prosecutors. They found no evidence of wrongdoing.
That's a different question. What became of the $50,000? Did the FBI get it back?
Mr. Whitehouse, excuse me, Senator Whitehouse, you're welcome to talk to the FBI.
The report to you. Can't you answer this question?
Senator Whitehouse, you're welcome to discuss this with Director Patel.
Did Homan keep the $50,000?
As Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche recently stated, the investigation
I can see I'm not going to get a straight answer from you to a very simple question.
By the FBI agents and the DOJ.
They found
no credible evidence of wrongdoing. You know, you're very concerned about money and people taking money and
you rail against dark sacks of cash.
You work with dark money groups all the time, Senator Whitehouse.
Anybody catching the theme here? These are perfectly legitimate questions. She has no answers. And instead attacks the senators asking her those questions. It is shameful. And it is unacceptable from an attorney general of the United States of America. She was also asked about the legal precedent for shooting down alleged drug cartel members as if they were engaged in acts of war. By the way, we have had experts on the show that say they are not, clearly not, in an active military aggression campaign against the United States, and that it is a violation of international laws to have dropped U.S. missiles on these boats in the water. And Senator Coons asked our attorney general about it. Take a listen to this.
The government's asserting the authority to summarily kill people. It says our cartel members through military strikes against boats on the open ocean in the Caribbean. Congress has never authorized such a use of military force, and it's unclear to me how the administration has concluded that these strikes are legal. I'm concerned with what the limiting principle is, whether the government could summarily kill people. It just declares our cartel members, as well as unlawful combatants inside the United States, or if they were American citizens. This isn't about defending cartels, and these aren't hypothetical questions. President Trump assembled military leaders and said they would be needed to fight the enemy from within and to train in cities in the United States that he describes as chaotic and violent. Due process is the cornerstone of our Constitution. I'm deeply concerned about the authority our president seems to be asserting to summarily kill people suspected of criminal activity outside the law. As the chief lawyer for our federal government, you have a unique responsibility to ensure maintenance of our constitutional standards. How did you conclude that these strikes on ships or boats in the open ocean are legal?
Senator Coons, I'm not going to discuss any legal advice that my department may or may not have given or issued at the direction of the president on this matter. Regarding Venezuela, what I can tell you is Maduro is a narco-terrorist.
The job that I held for Milwaukee County was nowhere close to being the Attorney General of the United States. But I have advised politicians and elected officials that have opposing interests who thought very differently about public policy. And what I can say very clearly to all of you is that I was never afraid to explain my legal reasoning to the people who I represented, all elected officials, because I worked for the government entity as a whole and not any single individual elected official. Again, Pam Bondi can't answer very basic questions that are essential to the rule of law in this country, which she has sworn an oath to uphold. And every single time she's asked, what does she do? She deflects. And it got worse. Do we have time to start with any of the Epstein sound, Jacob, before we got to sneak in a few messages here? I think we might. Okay, let's have a collective memory refresher, right, of what Pam Bondi told us she had sitting on her desk waiting for release to the American public. Take a listen to this.
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump. I'm reviewing that. I'm reviewing JFK files, MLK files. That's all in the process of being reviewed because that was done at the directive of the president from all of these agencies.
Folks, that was on February 21st of this year when asked by a Fox anchor, where are the Epstein files in the client list? Yeah, it's on my desk right along with all these other files. Yeah, yeah. We're going to be releasing that. We're going to, on the other side, when we come back, we're going to listen to what the Attorney General's position is now about those things and her complete inability to answer even the most basic questions about how she's executing her job functions, supposedly on behalf of the entire American public. This discussion continues on the other side. You got to sound off 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down till we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about blame shifter Bondi. It ain't nobody's responsibility, especially not hers. I'll just blame everybody else for all the things that are going wrong and my inability to answer a single question of substance at all. And the cherry on top of the Bam Bondi poo Sunday today before the Senate Judiciary Committee was the manner in which she answered really basic questions about Jeffrey Epstein and the Epstein file, which back in February she said she was sitting on her desk and reviewing it and they would release it. Then, of course, they had the big to-do about releasing the binders. That was on February 27th. There was nothing new in them. Then in March, she told Fox Business that she's got agents working around the clock in 12 overnight shifts to get more info ready for release by May. She said the FBI was reviewing tens of thousands of videos of the wealthy financier with children or child porn, okay? That was in May. Remember, by July, her and Cash Patel were like, it's a nothing burger, don't worry about it. Again, Pam Bondi in May, tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child porn. Now let's listen, Jacob, this is going to be cut five. Let's listen to her being specifically asked that question today about the president of the United States. And there is no denial, folks. Listen to this.
Let me ask you something else. There's been public reporting that Jeffrey Epstein showed people photos of President Trump with half-naked young women. Do you know if the FBI found those photographs in their search of Jeffrey Epstein's safe or premises or otherwise? Have you seen any such thing?
You know, Senator Whitehouse, you sit here and make salacious remarks, once again trying to slander President Trump left and right, when you're the one who was taking money from one of Epstein's closest confidants, I believe, I could be wrong, correct me, Reid Hoffman, who was with Jeffrey Epstein on multiple occasions. And the senator sitting
so
right next
president.
To you tried to block the flight logs from being released. Yet you're grilling me on President Trump and some photograph with Epstein? Come on.
The question is, did the FBI find those photographs that have been discussed publicly by a witness who claimed Jeffrey Epstein showed them to him? You don't know anything about that. Okay.
It's a pretty basic question. Have you seen photographs of the President of the United States with a convicted child sex trafficker with young women in various states of undress? Has the FBI ever had possession of these? And she can't answer the question. Ellen from Cedarburg, thank you for your patience, ma'am. What do you got for us this afternoon? Ellen, are you there? Hi, Ellen. Oh, too bad, Ellen. Try next time. Cam from Appleton, you're up. What do you want to sound off on?
Hey, I am just kind of livid hearing, like, neighbors and stuff on Nextdoor. They are excusing a lot of the pedophilia by finger-pointing to, I bet you wouldn't say the same about Bill Clinton. And it's like, you see my profile picture, you know that I'm a younger guy. When have you ever known anyone that is a millennial to have ever cared what happens to Bill Clinton? None of us remember him. No one cares. If he's a pedophile, take him away too. I don't care. The other thing is Minnesota, there were some investigations done on the voting systems in Minnesota, and there is a lot of concerning information out of there where there are precincts that were hand-counting votes, and they do not show signs of manipulation where all the ones that used electronic voting do.
Yeah, we're taking a look at some of that information, Cam. I just want to return very briefly to the fact that the Attorney General of the United States of America, who promised in February of this year that the Epstein file was on her desk and going to be released, who promised a week later that they were going to look into more documents after the first binder release was a dud, who said in March that they've got FBI agents working around the clock in 12-hour shifts to release this information to the American people, who insisted in May that the FBI was reviewing tens of thousands of videos of the wealthy financier Epstein with children or child porn, who again promised over and over and over again, was asked today, have you seen a video or a photograph of Donald Trump, our president, with young women or girls that you obtained from any seizures from Jeffrey Epstein's property or records? And the woman didn't answer the question. Why not? Heath from DeForest, you'll get the last word today. What do you want to sound off on?
Hi, Maggie. Hey, I just wanted to, you know, hit the point you just said again. She had the opportunity there to say that, hey, no, I certainly didn't see any photos like that, and I'm not aware of any, and neither is the FBI. But she chose not to. And she's a lawyer, right? So are you. That sounds to me like she doesn't want to perjure herself before Congress.
Heath, that is exactly right. Ask yourself why the Attorney General of the United States of America can't answer questions about allegations of corruption and her work for Ballard Partners. why she can't answer questions about Tom Homan's sack of cash, $50,000, why she can't answer questions about the legal authorization to shoot down people in a boat with military weapons, why she cannot answer the question, are there photographs seized from Jeffrey Epstein of this president with young women or girls in various states of undress? If you're worried about perjury, folks, the only tactic you've got is to deflect and to not answer the questions. That's going to do it for me, everybody. Tune in tomorrow. We dig in to the Democratic pipeline of candidates here in Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Members of the Texas National Guard have arrived in Illinois. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says the Trump administration has not told him how and where they'll use the troops, and that there are no communications with local authorities.
This is not about deportation. This is not about safety for this president. This is about authoritarianism. It's about stoking fear. It's about breaking the Constitution that would give him that much more control over our American cities.
Amidst the pending deployment, Attorney General Pam Bondi clashing with Illinois senior senator at a hearing of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
We're there to help make America safe and Illinois safe, whether or not you want to.
The government shutdown entering its second week, with Republicans demanding a clean vote on a stopgap spending bill to keep the government running. Democrats insisting that exploding health care costs need to be addressed. This is ABC News.